Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. So welcome back to another edition of Trending presented by Omaha, the show where I like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And Nate Lundy, unlike the Nuggets, I am peaking at the right time. I am up 9.9 to 6.5, though I congrats to you. You are a plus money better on Monday's show. Much better than your first time on Trendy the first time around. So how are you feeling after Monday's bets? Do you think you can close that gap pretty easily? Or am I looking too much like a juggernaut like the Timberwolves right now?
Well, look, I mean, it's not about just closing the gap, right? Like, you can go out there and play in a PGA tournament and I can have, you know, three birdies in a row. But if you've got a birdie, an eagle, and a birdie, you're still going to be ahead of me. So I gotta hope that you stumble straight out of the gate or that, you know, somebody like Jamal Murray throws something in your way.
Well, look, I only stumbled on one pick on Monday, even hit the second guess express as well, which is, as we both know, it's just guaranteed the moment we give it out. But my only stumble came for your Denver Nuggets, Nathaniel. And I wanted to ask you, you know, guys sitting high atop Denver, one of the prominent voices in the area, runs an entire sports network dedicated to the local teams. How does it feel in Denver right now? Because the mainstream media is already burying the team, right? Like Barkley has said the Timberwolves are going to win this series. They might even sweep. Simmons came out this morning and his podcast was all about what happens when the Timberwolves sweep the Nuggets. Right here on this network, Martin Weiss yesterday on Lemon Pepper Parlay declared it absolutely over. And to my eyes and ears, like, they're still the defending champ. They still have the best player in the world. I don't quite understand why the dirt is being tossed, but is that dirt being tossed locally as well?
Oh, the dirt was tossed in the first quarter of game two. And some of it was actually loosened up with one of those old school garden weasels that you get at Ace Hardware before you even got to the end of game one. Look, I said it back when it happened. In the regular season, I continued to say it even during the series against the Lakers. Anybody that thought getting the one seed wasn't important had their head in their ass. It was important because the worst team for the Nuggets to match up with in the 8-team playoff was the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they should have been doing everything they could to make sure that they did not see the T-Wolves until at least the Western Conference Finals. And they didn't. They screwed around. They lost to the Spurs in San Antonio and blew their chance at the number one seed. So first of all, in my opinion, the dirt started to be prepared on the end of the shovel when they screwed that up. Look, the Lakers are a team that you can get down to in the first half and turn around and beat them in the fourth quarter because they run out of energy. And that's exactly what the Nuggets did in the gentleman's sweep that happened in the first round. You can't do that against Ant-Man and the rest of the Minnesota Timberwolves, regardless of whether Rudy Gobert is there or not. And I'd argue that they actually played better in game two because he wasn't there in terms of how they had to game plan that entire thing. So I give the T-Wolves a lot of credit. Look, this team is toast. Do I believe you might see a gentleman sweep? Do I think they can win one of the games on either Friday or Sunday in Minneapolis? Yes. Do I also think that this team knows where they're at? Yes, I do. And I think Joker knows where he's at. Jamal Murray is injured, much the way that we talked about on Monday's podcast with Luka Doncic with the Dallas Mavericks. It's the same kind of thing right now with Jamal. So you put all of those things together, and right now the entire Minnesota team is living rent-free inside the Nuggets' head, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I made the Nuggets my heater pick and I'm locked in, right? Like, I can't back out of it. If I could back out of it, I would consider it right now, but I can't. I gave it out on Monday. It's going to be in my picks on Friday and Sunday. And it's just so much respect for the Joker. It's just so much respect for him. It's like, I don't know what the very final like status of a player is, but it's like, I don't even believe what my eyes tell me because I just have so much faith in the guy. So when he goes out and loses to the Spurs on that Friday night, the cost of the one seed, I make excuses for him. When they go out and like they're they don't dominate the Lakers. I make excuses for him. I always think that they were round into form, and it's just because of how great I think that guy truly is. And like, I don't know how you kind of square that mindset with what we saw in the first two games. And again, I'm very interested to hear what the local take is, because like, I just look at it from the outside and he looks like one of the, he looks like a perfect marriage of player and time and style of basketball, right? Like the way he plays is perfect for the way the NBA currently operates. Like, could he have done the same thing in the 1970s? I don't know. It doesn't matter because he's doing it in the 2020s. And so I don't know if he, like, he's not like a killer like Jordan or some of these, or Kobe or some of these other guys. Like, he sometimes just wants to go back to Serbia and race horses, as he's famously said. He doesn't have the pressure that he had last year because he's already delivered one ring. So, like, do we, when we say he's one of the best, that he's this perfect marriage of time and style of basketball, he's one of the, you know, the greats who's ever played the game, have we overrated him early, or are we underrating him right now? Because if he is one of the best, we shouldn't have all that dirt on the shovel.
No, I think that it was not done prematurely. I think that he is the best player on the planet. Look, he's going to win the MVP tonight. It's going to get announced tonight, as you and I are recording this podcast. So it's going to happen. He's going to win his third MVP. I continue to stand by that. I think he deserved it last season as well. This should frankly be his fourth in a row. But, you know, I'm not going to get in the head of voters and how people get, you know, burned out on a particular player. But he is that good. But part of what makes him good, in my opinion, is that when you talk about Jordan and you talk about that killer instinct, right? The give me the damn ball and get out of my way. That kind of thing that MJ did that made him so much fun to watch. There is some of that in Joker. But part of the reason that we are wowed by him and we are enamored with the highlight reels is because a dude that size shouldn't be dishing dimes like he does. That's one of the things that makes him so incredible on the court, is the way that he gets his teammates involved. And if one of those teammates, and arguably the best teammate that he has, is playing on a bum leg and allowed the Timberwolves to get in his head in the first 12 minutes of Monday's game, then you're limiting Joker's ability to do what it is that makes him great. He can rebound. He can put that little step move on you in the paint. He can run the floater. He can drain a three-pointer from 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet outside the arc. He can hit a game winner like he's done against the Warriors. He can do all of those things. But one of the bullets in his arsenal of expertise is the ability to dish the rock. And he can make some passes. And frankly, he did on Monday night, and they didn't go anywhere, right? Yeah. He makes a great pass, and his teammate doesn't make the play that they need to be able to make. And that is part of what it makes him so good. It's part of what gives him those triple doubles, as we all know. And so if the receiving end of that is not converting, then he's in trouble in terms of how people want to try to analyze him. Because, like I said, there are some, and Monday was an absolute embarrassment for the Denver Nuggets and for Nuggets fans. It was embarrassing to have Ball Arena chanting MVP while Ant is at the free throw line.
Yeah,
that is what was happening in Ball Arena on Monday night. That is an absolute embarrassment to the Mile High City that they are going to remember for a really long time when this series is over. But there were also plays that took place on Monday night where I looked at it and said, Joker just made the right play. His teammate didn't finish it.
Yeah, I mean, that maybe that's at the actual last level, right? When, like, you're one of the true absolute greats, like, you get the glory when your team wins. And if you lose, it's only because your teammates didn't come through because of how good you are. Like, it can't possibly be your fault. And so it'd be interesting, like, if this series continues on the trends that it's on, will, like, Jamal Murray come more into the crosshairs in the offseason, or the fact that he already does have a ring, does that protect him? So I don't know.
I can tell you, sorry to interrupt. I can tell you right now, he is in the fans' crosshairs. Yeah. Jamal Murray is getting roasted by the fans right now, not only for his performance. And look, two game winners in the first series. Okay, that's great. But people sometimes forget that he looked like ass before he hit that first game winner. He looked awful in that game. Agreed. And then he wound up hitting the game winner, and everybody forgot about how bad that he looked. But he had a horrible game. Him throwing the heat pad. I'm sorry. I am a Nuggets fan, as you well know, Topi. He should be serving a one-game suspension for tonight. The league wimped out because it's the postseason. If this were the regular season, he would be sitting on a one-game suspension right now.
Yeah, or if Draymond had done it, like, he might have got the death penalty. So there's all sorts of hypocrisy here.
Draymond would have had like a three-game suspension because of his history. You know, there's some guys that just get that sort of thing. I cannot believe – I mean, actually, I guess I can believe because the NBA needs its stars during the playoffs. I was shocked when they announced that he was not receiving a one-game suspension for that because he deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, the only people who want this series to go seven more than the people in Denver right now is the league office. Like, they don't want this thing over in four. They want the three extra games of TV revenue. And
I'll give you a preview. I'll give you a preview of tonight. They are going to announce Joker as the MVP. They're going to have him in an interview, and it is going to be the most boring thing you have ever seen because Joker doesn't care. He is mad right now that they are 0-2 because of everything that's going on around him. This announcement tonight is going to be so anticlimactic, especially for fans here in Denver.
Yeah, well, the game is Friday, so we might get to calm down just a little bit over the next 2 days. Well, I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting to see when we look back on this. Like, will this be Murray's fault? Will Joker catch some heat? Or, like, if we look at this back from 3 months now and the Timberwolves steamroll everybody, like, will it just be forgotten because they lost to an outstanding team? You say the Timberwolves are the worst matchup for the Nuggets. Like, are they the worst matchup for everybody right now if they're going to play defense this way? Because everybody always pays attention to the offensive side of the ball. It's what sells sneakers and what gets on posters and all sorts of things. But, like, this level of defense is uncomfortable to deal with if you're any of the other 31 teams, or I guess, sorry, 29 teams in the league, let alone Denver.
Yeah. Look, this the combination that they have in terms of the ability to move the ball and score and their defense, it is, you know, it's reminiscent of Bruce Bowen, Tony Parker, Manu, Tim. I mean, remember when the Spurs were winning the championships, I mean, a lot of times the scores of those games were, you know, in the low 90s to 80s, right? I mean, it was, they were slowing things down and playing good defense. And that's what Minnesota's doing right now. And look, let's give some credit to the guy that they actually showed on the broadcast and that people need to be familiar with. And that's Tim Connelly, who is running everything for the Timberwolves. And he took that job having left Denver. Tim Connelly is the guy that drafted Nikola Jokic in the second round during a Taco Bell ad. he is the guy. He is the guy that put together this Denver team that just won a championship. And then he left Denver and went to Minnesota, and look what he did.
Well, I think we're all going to have to pay attention to what he did this year and then going forward. I mean, obviously they're going to have different expectations, but they've been outperforming them all year, both, you know, on the win-loss column and also in the gambling column. So, as I said, I am locked in on Friday's game. I've got to take the Nuggets. They're getting 4.5 points, but I don't feel great about it. Though, you do have to say, like, game three on Friday is one of the most must-watch games that we're going to have in the recent times. Because if the Nuggets, who a week ago I would say were one of the, like, borderline dynastic, one of the best NBA teams we ever saw, if they have any pride whatsoever, they have to stand up to that legacy. They have to stand up to that promise, and they have to find a way to get it done on the road in game three. Or, you know, all that talk just is as useless as the breath that we wasted it on.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right. Well, let's see if we can agree on a couple of picks right after we give Caesar some love.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Nathan, we are back and we are time to play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred. I do have the lead. I was super hot on Monday. I want to see if I can keep that going. So with honors, I'm going to lead off back in the Knicks, back in the Garden. And this time I am going to play the over in game two, 219.5 at minus 105 over at Caesars. They clear this mark, the two teams combined, by 19 in game one. And Halliburton definitely left a lot of meat on the bone. He barely even shot the ball. One of the most reliable scoring options did not contribute. So I feel like if Halliburton could step forward, that this has a great chance to be up in like the 230s, 240s, let alone 219.5. It's also going to be a really weird game with Reggie Miller on the call and the refs under the spotlight after that phantom kickball and that questionable blocking on the screen in game one. So it's not my most confident pick because I can also see the refs absolutely swallow the whistle completely and both teams go in like full prison mode here. And at that point, like, it's going to be hard to break 200. But I think we're going to see a pretty well-balanced game. I think Halliburton steps up. I think they clear it. If you don't like that one, as a little bonus time, Nathaniel, Caesars has a Brunson boost of over 34.5 combined with over 7.5 assists is all the way up to plus 150. You got to think Carlisle is good enough to make the Knicks do something different at some point. But if you don't agree with that, you think Carlisle's not the guy he used to be, then that's great value on something that seems to be fairly close to 50-50, whether Brunson is going to continue to destroy his opponent, and you're getting plus 150 instead of minus 110.
Yeah, that's a nice little boost that you got there. Look, I really like the over in this game. I want to wait to see what we've got overall, but this may be the one that I tail you on because I do believe that they should be able to clear this with relative ease. I will also say this. Toby, when was the last time we ever saw an NBA whistle be swallowed? Come on, these guys want to be – these three guys on the court want to be stars as much as the guys that are out there doing windmill slam dunks do. So I don't think it's actually possible for NBA referees to swallow their whistle. I think they want to wind up being a factor. Now, do they want to be a factor in the final 90 seconds? Probably a little bit tired of that, and I think the league is too. I think the league is very, very tired of it, the same way that the NFL has been very, very tired about pass interference for years now.
It could also go the other way, where Pacers get every call in the first half and they throw up like 70 points in the first half and it's like 70-65. And then, you know, the over looks extremely tasty at that point.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I may have to watch this game tonight muted because I'm not sure I can take Reggie Miller for 2.5 hours.
I mean, like, hey, Omaha, free idea. Just like, forget any other alt cast we're doing. Just game four. It's just Reggie and Spike on the call together. Just throw them on an alt cast. Don't make it the main broadcast and throw those two on an alt cast and break all sorts of records.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's a bad call. But going back to your pick, I do like that. I think it's solid. Let me see where I want to tail by the time we get to the end.
All right, what do you got in Heart?
With my Heart one, you know, maybe this is a little bit because of the fact that we are, you know, that I'm trailing you just a little bit, but I'm going to sit back and say, here's why this is a heart pick, because there's a little bit of logic behind it, but here's why it's a heart pick. Brad and I joke on the Fade 5 podcast all the time, our good friend Brad Evans, that betting on total bases or home runs with the Atlanta Braves, you are taking your life into your own hands, because that lineup is so lethal. I have always been convinced that when I bet on Matt Olson, it's Austin Riley. And when I bet on, if I bet on Acuna, it's Olson. And it's one of those, like, there's always a home run or there's always somebody smacking a double. It's just really hard to predict which one of them is going to wind up doing it. So that's why this is considered a heart bet for me, because I think it's a complete roll of the dice when it comes to this lineup, but I'm going to take Marcell Ozuna for a home run at plus 250. Some of the lowest odds in this particular contest, but I'm going to take him to actually smack a round tripper. He does have a history of doing this against Nick Pivetta. As a matter of fact, in 25 plate appearances, he's got four round trippers against him. So he's done this against him. But the reason it's a heart pick is because sometimes I feel like I need to put pictures of the starting nine for Atlanta up on a dartboard and then just throw, and wherever the dart hits is the guy to go with, because there's so much power on this team and it's so hard to predict. But I'm going to say, on a gut feel for today, a heart pick, give me Ozuna to be the guy that hits the round tripper at a plus 250.
Well, you got to play your gut, and that's certainly a great payoff. And man, I love Ozuna. I love gambling on him. He is so remarkably consistent. Like last year, I didn't look at the odds in the last week. I did pretty well on it in April, but like just a hit every day, just every day. Like it's like minus 140, minus 150, depending on the pitch and matchup, might get down to like minus 120 or minus 180. But he delivers 70-75% of the games. He's going to get one hit. He doesn't go 4-for-4. He doesn't go 5-for-5 or anything. 1-for-3, 1-for-4. Every single freaking day. And so like, unless they're going to juice that into like the 200s for a hit or a 300s, like he's the best bet on the Braves to consistently get a hit.
Yeah, he really is. There's a lot of consistency there. And like I said, sometimes the power comes with it, and that has certainly happened this season. And as I said, it's happened for him against Pivetta as well, historically with four round trippers, but he really is an incredible model of consistency. The other one I just want to throw out there, you talked about bonus time. Depending upon when you're consuming this podcast, if you can get a bet in on Bryce Harper, holy crap, that dude is hot. Just keep hitting his total bases or his HRR until he bucks you. Because if you look at what he's doing right now, his OPS in the last 7 days is a 1686, folks.
Man, sounds like a Yellowstone prequel.
Yes, it's wild, man. It really, really is what he's doing right now. But there's so many day games today that I had to ignore a lot of those so that people had time to consume here on the pod.
Same boat. I'm all basketball because of all the day games on the Wednesday schedule. So the next basketball pick in the head category is I hit on an under for a Celtic in this when I get it Wednesday against Tatum on Monday. I'm doing it again. Jrue Holiday, under 17.5 points and assists, minus 121 over at Caesars. Just like Tatum, it's the exact same logic, just a different player. This is a guy who has not had 17.5 points and assists since March, just like Jason on points and rebounds. And they simply don't need him right now to step up and suddenly have like a random 20-point game. They are getting, scoring up and down that roster. Nobody has to score 40 because they have so many guys who can score like in that 10 to 12 range. Because they're not depending on him, because, that burden falls more on Tatum and Brown, he's just steadily locking down the other team's best player, focusing on the defensive side of the court, and it's not translating into box score numbers, but it continues to translate into wins for the Celtics. So if he has like a 10-2 and plays great defense, they're going to win by 20-30 points again. He might not have to play the fourth quarter, which makes the under a good bet. So again, under on a Celtics individual player on points plus assists, no shot at the Celtics. It's actually like a great strength of the Celtics, the balance they have up and down that roster.
Yeah, I agree with this one. And again, look at where the focus will be here in the playoffs. Sometimes if you've got a guy that is capable of scoring, but what you need in the matchup is the defense, then the focus switches away. And now all of a sudden, maybe it's not the assists that come through, something like that, that keeps you below. The player combos in the playoffs are really a fun thing to be able to play, because you can look at particular matchups and find where you want to jump in, where you want to jump out.
Yep. And he wants to jump all over Spider Mitchell and let everybody else handle all of the offensive load. So I'm going to cash on that trend. What are you going to cash on today on head?
We are going to look at what unfortunately is minus odds, but there's a reason that it's sitting at minus odds, and that is Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers to have a goal in the matchup this evening that will be up in Vancouver, one of my favorite cities in all of North America, by the way. Holy cow, Vancouver's a beautiful town. Even though they're on the road, if you look at what Zach Hyman has been doing so far in the postseason, dude's got not one, not two, not three, seven goals in the postseason right now, okay, for Edmonton. And that goes along with everything that he did during the regular season as well. So I look at a guy that wound up scoring a total of 54 goals in the regular season, okay? 54 in the regular season for Edmonton, seven so far in the postseason. Ah, but Toby, here's where it gets interesting. In his four games against Vancouver this year, he only has one assist. I'm playing the odds here that a guy that is that prolific of a scorer, that is on that much of a heater in the postseason, and who did not tally a goal at all in the regular season in four chances against Vancouver. To me, this is one of those where the odds catch up, the mean catches up, and I think Zach Hyman notches one in the back of the net tonight. And even though most of the time and any time goal scorer is at plus odds, even if it's short plus odds, I'm still willing to play this one at minus 105.
If you're willing to play the Oilers' third most proficient offensive player on an anytime goal scorer, like, shouldn't we also be looking in the over of that game? The line's at six at minus 120. Eddie Spaghetti did really well on Edmonton overs in round one of the playoffs. Should we keep looking at that trend in round two since you like Hyman and then they also have Draisaitl and McJesus?
Yeah, I think you need to be looking at the over. And frankly, if we go to the early game tonight in Boston and Florida, I think you should be looking at the over in that one as well. And some of it is because we are seeing a little bit of a move here in the second round. So in the first round of the playoffs, we were seeing unders and unders and unders and unders, right? We were seeing finals of 2-1. We were seeing finals of 3-2, 3-1, things like that. I mean, every now and then you popped a score like what we saw with Colorado in Winnipeg. But here in the second round so far, I think the overs are 4-0. Far in the second round, if I'm not mistaken. So we are seeing some scoring here in the second round. So I frankly like it in the Boston Florida game. If you want a little bonus pick, that one's sitting at 5.5. I do like the over in Vancouver and Edmonton. You could also same game parlay in some different ways between Vancouver and Edmonton. So for example, you could pull that total down to 5.5 so that you can avoid the push of the six potentially. You could pull it down to 5.5. And then look at a shots on goal prop that you like, look at a point prop that you like, something like that. And you'd get yourself into probably plus 130 to plus 170 range, depending upon how you construct that SGP. Another prop, by the way, if you want one in this particular game,
please,
that you can take advantage of, I would use this specifically in an SGP because the odds are like minus 240, but take both teams to score at least two. Take both teams to have at least two goals in this contest and make that part of your SGP as well. Because I do think we are going to see some scoring out of these two teams. Edmonton, we know, is more than capable of it because of that top line that they have, but so is Vancouver. And I'm going to talk about a couple of Vancouver guys coming up when we get to the cred pick.
SGPs are going to be very interesting in that game, particularly if there's going to be a lot of goals, because that widens the menu of the number of SGPs you can get down on because of all the overs that would be involved. If you want the simple one, the over of six goals and Hyman to get a goal, the one you just gave out, that is plus 183 at Caesars. And as mentioned, the Oilers in the first round, they played five games with the Kings. Four of them featured at least seven goals. So I like that one quite a bit. I'm actually probably going to end up following you on that, but I might also throw in the over for a little extra juice. For the heater, we've already talked about it. I'm locked into the Nuggets. You are locked into Garcia. He did not come through for you on Monday. You unfortunately, he came through in a big way for you on Tuesday yesterday, but unfortunately that doesn't count because that is not a show day. So how are you feeling about his opportunities to do it the rest of the week? You're 1-for-2, unofficially 0-for-1 here on the show.
Well, like I said, he's still got – it's a doubleheader today that he's got against Oakland. And then he finishes out the weekend right here in Denver. So I'm feeling very good about a guy with that kind of power who has a history, especially against the A's. And then I told you, one of the things that I found so interesting about him, with as much power as he has in his career, he still has not hit a home run at Coors Field. And I have a feeling that either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's going to happen for him. So I'm feeling really good about the HRR with him because – you know, obviously, one of the great things about HRR is if somebody smacks one over the wall, it happens in one swing.
There you go. Well, call your shot, day game or night game. You only get credit for one. So is Garcia going to do it in the day or the night?
Here's what I think might be kind of interesting. So yesterday, the hilarious part about him hitting it yesterday, I don't know if you paid attention or not, because I was following along with this. His HRR yesterday was 2.5 instead of 1.5, right?
Yeah.
He did not get a hit yesterday and still hit the HRR. That's what was crazy about it. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, the dude didn't get a hit, and he hit the over on 2.5 just between the runs and the RBIs.
One runs, two ribbies.
Yep. They were able to pull him early yesterday because they were just smashing him at the time. I mean, I think when he came out of the lineup, it was like 11-2 or something like that. And the game finished, if I'm not mistaken, 15-5. So they were able to pull him early. I was curious as to what that was going to be because I was curious as to whether he would be in the lineup for both games today. So I don't know that I can answer your question necessarily, Toby, because he might only play one out of these two. If the Rangers are feeling pretty confident here against the A's, they might give him one of these games off, or maybe he starts the first game and then they save him in the second game to bring him in as a pinch hitter or something like that if they need him. So I feel good in either one, but he may not start either game or both.
All right, well, okay, I'm scoring you on the first one he starts then. If he starts the 337 pitch, then that one's locked in.
Absolutely.
All right, that brings us into cred time. What we're going to put one bet down on, what would it be? And I am going to continue to back the Oklahoma City Thunder, -4.5, -115. I didn't see anything in game one that makes me think I should back away from this bet. Luka, I mean, I heard Martin say yesterday that SGA might be the third best guard in the series. That might actually be Luka right now. Like, we're talking about on current form, not what he's done the entire season. Kyrie performed adequately, was hitting a lot of big shots. SGA was as steady as it comes, and Luka has not stepped up in the manner that would be befitting one of the best two or three players in the entire world. And even if he does, even if he does drop 40, even if he is transcendent, even if he is the best player on the court, the depth of the Thunder is undeniable. Like, they've moved away from, you know, like the big three of the Heat or the Warriors or anybody else, and they're just the big one and eight great guys. Like, they're playing nine deep. Nine guys are getting 15 minutes. Every single one of them is contributing. And that is just very hard to overcome with heliocentric basketball. So I think the Timberwolves are going to do Luka a huge favor by putting that like national spotlight on the Nuggets and their potential collapse against a team that was not supposed to be on their level. But the Thunder are about to do the same thing. And I know they're the one seed, but they're a very unsexy one seed. Everybody wants to focus on the true superstar, and he is getting exposed by this Thunder team. So yes, there is going to be a game where he has 40. Yes, there's going to be a game where he might have 50. Yes, the Mavericks are going to win one game in this series, but I don't think it's going to be on Thursday night, and I'm going to put two units down to say I'm right.
Yeah, and I still go back to what I said on Monday's podcast. You know, I've seen some people that have said, some folks out of North Texas that have said that if this were the regular season, he might be sitting right now, that he is just not 100%. I think that's the case with Jamal Murray right now for the Nuggets as well. You know, he is not 100%. We know that. He's talked about it. It's his calf. And so, you know, if he's having issues and Luka's having issues, those teams are not going to be the same. So I think you continue to roll with Oklahoma City until they buck you. My cred pick, let's go back to the ice. And I told you that I was going to have this one for you. I want to go back to that Edmonton-Vancouver game. One of the things I do when I'm betting on hockey is actually something you alluded to, Toby. And that is, if there's a contest that I'm expecting a lot of scoring, I go look for player props, right?
Yep.
Because the beauty of hockey is, in a lot of cases, in the majority of cases, you've got 3 points that are out there on every goal. You've got the goal scorer, the first assist, and the secondary assist that go along with it. And so if you think there's going to be 6-7 goals in a game, you've got the opportunity for, you know, 21 points to be handed out across the guys that are out there on the ice. And so with that in mind, I'm going to look at the home team here, in part because when it comes to Draisaitl and McDavid, their point totals are usually sitting at two or more, which means if you only take them for one, it's juiced to high heaven. So the problem is sometimes trying to play those guys is difficult. You want to get into the specifics, like for them to have an assist or something like that. But on Vancouver's side, I want to go to a couple of guys that have been hot. And no, it's actually not going to be Zach Hyman, who I gave you back with the head pick. Let me go with Brock Besser and JT Miller. Give me each of those guys to have a point in this contest tonight for Vancouver. And I can get that one at plus 104. So I know it's not very sexy, but when you look at these two guys, you look at the line that they share, you look at the fact that they share the line on the power play as well, you put all of that together, there's just a lot of ice time for these two guys to be able to have an opportunity to come through. If you look at Besser, you're talking about a guy that in the first contest of the season, I know you got to go all the way back to October to do this, but in the first game of the year, he scored 4 goals against Edmonton in that game, okay? And I know that's all the way back in October, and I get it. I understand. But I just believe that you look at the history that they've got, and then you look at these two guys together in the 4 regular season games against Edmonton. They each had a point in 2 out of those 4 games. And in the other ones, it was one or the other of them. So I'm going to play the odds. I'm going to throw the cred pick down, plus 104 for each of those guys to have a point. And if you really want to get crazy, if you were to make it a 3-legger, so this isn't my pick, but I'm just throwing this out there in case you want to get crazy with the Cheese Whiz. If you add Quinn Hughes, the defenseman for Vancouver, that turns it from a plus 104 to a plus 178.
A defender scoring. You're a man after our producer's heart. Quinn, that's all he gives out.
Quinn Hughes is so much fun to watch, man. I love him. Great young talent for Vancouver.
Well, I was worried you weren't going to show up here today because as the sadist that you are, you got not one, but 2 overtime games on the rink last night, including one involving your own Avs. So what a night of hockey for you, my friend.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun last night. I was actually at a concert at Red Rocks last night and keeping track of the Avs on my phone. And so I look down and I see they're losing 3-0 at the end of the first. And so, frankly, I put my phone away, which I tend to do during a concert. I'm not one of those people that films crap like all these idiot Gen Zs. So I put my phone away because I was like, oh, crap, they're down 3-0, blah, blah, blah. And all I cared was for the Avs to win one of the first 2, obviously. That's what you want out of a road trip, right? But the crazy part is I go to look, you know, an hour later or whatever, and I'm like, holy crap, it's 3-2 at the end of the second. So then all of a sudden I was having to actually pay attention to what was happening. And then as I'm leaving the concert, they scored the overtime goal, and I actually yelled that out to the crowd, and people started cheering.
Oh, hell yeah. Who are you seeing?
Shane Smith and the Saints, Texas country band. If you're a fan of Yellowstone, if you're a fan of the television show Yellowstone, you're familiar with Shane Smith and the Saints.
All right. Feather and Shane Smith's cap that he can draw a crowd at Red Rocks during a night that the Avs are playing. So good for him. Good for you, Shane Smith.
It was a great show. Love those guys to death, and they put on a great show. If they come to a city that you are in and you're a fan of that type of music, I highly recommend the show. These guys are super high energy. They're a ton of fun.
All right. Well, Lundy, you always put on a great show. We're going to wrap this one up right after this break. All right, Nate, I took honors earlier. What is our true lock today? What is the fastest way to victory? All aboard the Second Guess Express. What is sitting on your betting bench?
Well, here's what's pretty funny is this is actually one of my bets that I made on Monday's podcast, and we hit it.
Yep.
Tonight, it's actually going to be in my Second Guess Express because I desperately want to make this one, but I'm a little bit worried that the odds may come back and bite me in the butt. And that is, if you recall, we did no goal in the first 10 minutes between Boston and Florida in game 1. And that one hit with ease for us. Yep. That was a piece of cake. And it's sitting at plus 105 for tonight. It was plus 106 when we played it on Monday. These are two teams that were in the bottom of the rankings in terms of goals in the first 10. And if you recall, I gave you the stat on Monday that Boston had the fewest goals in the first 10 when they were on the road of any team when they were traveling on the season. Only 39% of the time did it happen to them. However, as I said, We've been seeing some overs get hit. And so the question is it going to be late scoring like what we saw with Boston and Florida, where all of a sudden things got interesting in the second period? And the first period, they were feeling each other out. Or are we going to see something sneak by one of these two first goaltenders? So within the first 10 minutes. So as much as I want to play this one, this is my second guess express, even though it was cash for us on Monday.
It's funny. We came to like the exact same conclusion. My second guess express is I just want to make all my Monday picks again. Like I don't like, I'm a heater bet at heart, like heart and head heater cred. Like I like to play patterns. I like to just lock in, and I know it's bad for content, but like just replay Monday show. I still believe in the Knicks at the Garden. I still obviously believe in the Thunder over the Mavs. That parlays plus 125. Tatum under the 36.5 points and rebounds minus 108. Same logic for Monday still applies. And the Dodgers are still minus 130 against this awful Marlins team. Like lock all three of those bets in, even though I don't want to ruin the show by just saying the same thing every time. I like to find new ways to ruin the show. Those are my favorite bets of today. But that does remind me, we didn't actually do tail or fail, Nate. So I am going to tail. I'm going to get down with hockey. Give me that Hyman bet. I'm going to, in the Caesars app, I'm going to pair it with the over, but I will join you at the minus 105 for the sake of the show. Which one of my bets are you going to tail or fail?
I like the fact that you're tailing me on a hockey one. I find that one to be a heck of a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, I'm going to tail you on the one at the very start, and that is the over on the Pacers and the Knicks. I am going to tail you on that one. That was a bet that I liked this morning, even before you and I started laying out the groundwork for the podcast. I was already leaning into that one. I think this contest is going to be somewhere between 223 and 227. And so I think we're going to hit this, and I think we're going to comfortably hit it. So I'm going to tail you on the opportunity for that over to happen yet again in the Eastern Conference.
All right. Well, if we both hit that again, you might need to fail me on Friday to catch up. But I think we're on solid ground on that one. So between now and Friday, when you come back and join us to conclude the week, where should people go find you, Nate?
Remember, you can always follow everything that we've got going on with the company that that I help run here. That's Mile High Sports, milehighsports.com, and Mile High Sports on all your different social channels. If you want to follow me specifically, it's simple. It's just at Nate Lundy. That's how you find me on X. That is where you will find my spreadsheet with all of my picks posted as well. It's completely free. All you got to do is click on it. It's an open Google spreadsheet that you can take a look at anytime that you want to. And of course, if you have not already done so, please make sure you are subscribed to the Fade 5 podcast, either where you get your podcasts or over on YouTube. That is the show that Brad Evans and I do a couple of times a week. Obviously, very high energy. I'm a goof, but Brad is on another planet when it comes to that. And so he and I have a ridiculous amount of fun on that podcast, and I hope you guys will join us for it.
Yeah, please do. I mean, you obviously see what Nate can do on this show, and you've been exposed to Brad enough times if you've been listening to Trendy since the beginning that you know you should be listening to that show as well. You should listen to all the shows here. Hench and Damashek had another great episode on Monday. Sarah Tiana will be back talking about the roast today on Extra Points. Lemon Pepper was full of wild takes, including the one that said SGA was the third best guard in that series, which was a particular scorcher. And we will have some soccer action for you tomorrow on Cover to Glory, plus the wrapping up with Nate on Friday. So that is it for those plugs. Also, go out and check out Hoop Atlas by my friend Kurt Goldsberry. Came out yesterday. My copy arrived last night, and it is as amazing as I thought it would be. So make sure that you guys all go check that out. So, Nate, you are running Mile High Sports when Denver is one of the single capitals of the sports world right now, even though they have their shovels out and ready to bury the Nuggets. So make sure you do tune in for that. Anything else you want to tell people before we separate until Friday?
No, have fun cashing your ticket tonight if you bet on Jokic to be the MVP. Just as I told you, I hate tying up my money, but I had one on Wembanyama to be Rookie of the Year because there a boost. Because there was a boost, and I feel like I made that bet sometime in 2021 and finally got to cash the ticket. But if you were a Joker better tonight, congratulations. You're going to have some extra coin in your account.
Yep, there you go. Put it on the Timberwolves on Friday. It's probably the best use of funds. All right. Well, everyone, there's a lot of playoff action, NBA, NHL. There's a Champions League game this afternoon, tons of day baseball. So much to enjoy as a sports fan. We'll be back to talk about all of it on Friday. Take care, everyone.